Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. Today I want to talk about overthinking and how it's impacted my health over the years and just some lessons I'm taking into my goals this year around it, because overthinking is a killer and it catches all of us out even when we think it isn't. So I just want to share some thoughts. Let's get into it. Okay, as I record this podcast, where I am, it's remarkably hot. Like 31 degrees, give or take, which is pretty hot for where I'm based. It's very hot. That's Celsius, not Fahrenheit. So, pretty intense. The dog looks like it's about to pass out. It's just sitting under the air conditioner, looking like it's living its best life. And it got me thinking, overthinking, about a million things. And gave me a great topic for a podcast, is how overthinking has affected my health over the years. And how it's just kicked my butt. It's absolutely kicked my butt. I'm 38 years old. I've been on this planet. And I've always struggled with my weight. It's always been an issue for me. I found food at a young age. And I used it as a dopamine fix, should we say. My ADHD didn't get caught till late. And on the ADHD side, your dopamine is always up and down. And when we moved overseas, I worked out sugar could be a fantastic way to impact my dopamine. And where we were living in the Middle East. My mother, again, with dyslexia, my dad's with ADHD, most likely. They basically wanted to look after us because they'd taken us out of our comfort zones. They thought, hey, let's buy them the occasional extra soda or donuts, or, you know, that's a good thing to do. That'll make them happy. And in essence, we kind of learned that this did make us happy. It gave us those dopamine spikes, but it got to a point where we just kept eating. It was the one thing we could do where we were that triggered it. And with a family with undiagnosed neurodiversity, food is a fantastic tool to trigger dopamine release and make you feel good, right? Like, I think we all know that, either. Some of us more than others. But for us, it became the thing we did. And we learned from our parents who also used it for the same reason. And yeah, it's caused me ups and downs over the years. And as I've gotten older, let's not think about, I don't think anyone overweight sits there thinking about how can I solve my, you know, how can I deal with this stuff, right? Like, none of us are sitting there going, hey, let's just stay this way forever. You know, I've gone up and down. I've lost 25 kgs at one point. I lost 35 at another point. I'm not the heaviest I've been by no chance, but I'm not where I want to be, should we say. And it's something that it's very easy to fall back into, using food as a dopamine crutch, because it's an easy source. There's so much advertising out there. There's so many people telling you. The amount of advertising, if you're watching television around dinner time, is ridiculous, even in this day and age, with digital marketers posting it everywhere, reminding you of these high-fat, high-sugar meals. Now, that's not an excuse, but you can imagine how hard that becomes when you're trying to make a change. And so I've been dealing with that all my life, health challenges and issues. And I'm finally starting to take some time to think about it. And I did in the last podcast on time, I talked a little bit about how I've kind of made some decisions about time frames around losing weight this time. And I'm really proud of them. I'm happy with them. It basically shows that I understand myself really well now. But the second piece of this is, what am I actually going to do about it? And what tripped me up before? And this is the question I would recommend anybody ask, whether it's about health or something you've continued to struggle with for years and years and years, is what do I keep doing again and again and again and not learning from? Or, you know, what's the belief I have that's not serving me? Because however you want to frame that question, you know, I've done every diet under the sun, every weight loss thing that you can imagine. I've probably tried it, especially when I was younger, more than anything. And I kept making the same errors, right? I thought it was short term. I thought it was just I was losing weight for the sake of losing weight. It was for a specific target. Wasn't really for a life goal at the time, especially. It was about just solving a problem, okay? And so what are some of the lessons I've learned? One of them being what I mentioned to you before around dopamine. Like, to learn that lesson that food equals dopamine spike, there is no sense of me trying to go on a diet if I'm using food as my dopamine source, right? There is no hope, because it's not going to just start popping up from anywhere, right? It's not dopamine is not just going to start appearing. I've got to have other ways of dealing with that problem. You know, I've got to make sure that's solved before I start to go deep into this. Now, for me personally, the way I've dealt with that a bit is, one, I've got my Ritalin sorted for the ADHD side of my brain. That definitely helps keep me on track for a period of time. And continuing to get that dose perfect is so important. That's making a massive impact. The second thing is, I've also got THC oil. And I use that at night, an hour before bed. Anything earlier than that can make me very hungry, as we all know it can. But it also relaxes me a lot if I've had a hard day. And I use that as another tool just to manage my energy, emotional levels. And so those are two really powerful tools. The third thing I've started to do is go to the gym more and starting to actually push myself. Because you can sometimes, I don't know about you, but I can sometimes get myself into a habit of going to the gym and pushing myself just before it starts to hurt. That's kind of where I've gotten to. Now, I know a lot of you probably are opposite to that. You use it as a dopamine tool. That's what I'm starting to teach myself, to push myself on at least one machine each time I go to get the burn. Push myself through the pain to the burn, and it feels great. And I'm starting to retrain myself on how valuable that is and how it does give me the endorphins. It does what it needs to do. Whether it's endorphins, dopamine, it helps the machine work. I'm also setting myself up to know that when do I usually, I guess, feed for dopamine, and what can I do instead? Do I go for a run, a walk? Even a walk for an hour makes a massive difference. And how can I prioritize that instead of what I have been doing? Because a lot of this stuff comes down to priorities, right? Last year, I prioritized work a lot more than I thought I did. And when it was a conversation of food or work, work won. And so, you know, I did some good work last year, got some good stuff completed. But, you know, it wasn't good for my health. Wasn't putting myself first. And what's really interesting, and this is the lesson I learned last year, and this is one that I've gotten wrong a lot. And sometimes some of these lessons are things you think you know, but you don't actually put into action. You know, and this is one I feel like if you'd asked me this in a social setting, I could have given you this answer. But in my life, I couldn't have actually expressed it in a positive way. There's a huge difference between knowing something and acting on something. And like, for me, you know, I know that kind of working hard is important in a job and to, you know, to make money. But if I'd have put my health first and I got my health sorted sooner, that health fix would have given me more energy to work and achieve more. Does that make sense? Like, the actual cause and effect cycle is, the healthier I am, the better I will work. I'll be able to deal with stress. The better my body will handle illness. The better all of this stuff will happen is because, you know, with that. So that's a real lesson. I haven't really reminded myself that enough or said, hey, this is why health is a priority, because health will impact my relationships. It'll impact everything. It's the bones of the whole lot. And so I finally learnt that lesson, or finally decided to act on that lesson. This is probably the right way to say it. I've decided to finally act on that and realize that is actually hugely important. I'd overthought it so many ways. You know, do I go for a walk now, or should I still work for that extra hour? Where if I'd have just got off my butt instantly, gone for a walk for an hour, had a shower, got back into it, I probably would have got more work done. My brain would have been in a better place. My body would have been in a better place, and it would have been a win. Does that make sense? You know, these things that we know, but we don't act on. So that's one thing. The other thing that I've always struggled with overthinking is, is, you know, I've watched different nutritionists, I've read different diets, I've tried a bunch. You know, one of the biggest challenges I've always seen myself is being a dyslexic, being creative, my brain really struggles to follow a plan word for word. I really struggle. If you give me an exact plan and say, follow this, I will always put my own two cents into it. It's like a recipe. I may follow the recipe once and create something great. The next time I follow that, I'm 100% adding 5, 10, 20% of my own thinking into it. Maybe I'll change the stock that's used in the gravy, or maybe I'll do something for a little bit longer or shorter, or maybe I'll add another ingredient in here. But that's one of the big challenges I've had with my dyslexic mind is I'm very happy to use a recipe of someone's as a base, but I love to add my own flavor. So I'm really conscious of that. And I think I've always known that, but the problem with it is my brain starts overthinking the recipe I'm given. So if I'm given a recipe to lose weight, I will overthink it well beyond the need for it. And that causes problems. You know, if I want a result and a recipe is going to get me that result, but I keep changing the recipe, guess what? The result doesn't always come, right? And it's a real challenge. I'd put that down to my dyslexic mind more than anything on this, is that my brain is always wanting to create its own version. And so because of that, it's left me failing on a heap of things and kind of blaming myself, which kind of was my fault, but it was also just the challenges I have with dyslexia. And I need to let that go to be able to move through this. I have to be able to let that go, that I'm going to be creative, and that's okay. And so I need to, instead of overthinking, like I'd get to a point where I'd overthink the micronutrients. Like, am I getting enough B vitamins or C, or there's like 28 B vitamins and all this stuff. And I'd get so granular in trying to make this perfect fitness regime and overthink all of it. I wouldn't even get close. I'd get stuck in the weeds, the nitty gritty. And so this round, I've learned that and I've said, okay, calories, macros. I need to understand protein, fat, carbs. What percentages do I want each day? And what's my calorie intake I'm after each day? What's that? That's it. That's the numbers I'm after. Put it on the thing. Boom. That's it. And so that's allowing me to create enough creativity that I can make this work. The other piece around this, and this will be a bit longer podcast than usual, is around perfectionism. I know that kills me on this stuff. Like, I'm a perfectionist. I've gotten better at it over the years, but I'm still a perfectionist. Let's not lie. You can't change. I don't think you can change it. I think you can change how you react when that pops up, but it still pops up. And so, like, I'd get to a point where if something went wrong, I'd fall apart. Like, the other day, I was away out with friends. I ate one chip, one fried, what do you call them? French fry, shall we call it? And because I'd completely forgotten, I was just doing my normal habit. And I caught myself and, oh, you've just eaten the chip. And there was a part of me going, you have failed. You are imperfect, impure. You are unclean. You know, there was a part of me saying that to myself. And I had to catch myself and go, it's one chip. It doesn't make a difference. The grand scheme of life, it doesn't matter. What are you doing to yourself? And so I had to really catch myself. And I'm being very conscious not to be perfect. If I don't have all the data to count the macros and the calories, that's okay. Just do your best. Do what you think, do your best. And I've had to let myself just do my best because it works. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be doing something. And so that's another massive lesson that I hadn't really gauged very well before. And I'm still catching myself, but at least I know what my response is now. It's okay to be imperfect. Just do your best. You'll get there. So that's been big. And then the last thing that I'm taking into this time and that I've struggled with is tracking. Like actually tracking what I'm doing. Calorie counting can be boring as anything. And I always struggled with it. It's not been a fun thing. And the same with weighing myself. I get way too attached to the day-to-day changes. And what I've said to myself this time is everything I'm doing is an experiment with me. I know where I'm going. I know the number I'm looking at. But everything's an experiment. The weight is not the result I'm worried about. It's purely just telling me what I did in the experiment yesterday. So yesterday was an experiment of what I tried to eat. How did it affect me? What other factors impacted me in that experiment? That's all it is. It's nothing else. And every day I do it, I track it. I've got a cool app. And I must say, today, you know, a great example of how AI is helping. This app I'm using is a keto app. I'm not doing keto, but, you know, I got excited and purchased an app for keto, as you do, for a year. It seemed exciting at the time. But the great thing about it, it's a really good app nonetheless for calorie tracking and tracking everything, so I'm just using it anyway. But it's got an AI feature where I can actually just press a button, tell it what I had, and it will do its best to work out the calorie range and do an imperfect amount. So it's not perfect, but it gets a pretty close to what it would be. So like if I had two eggs, I had two cups of raw broccoli, just for example, and 2 tablespoons of olive oil, I could say it to it and it'll just pull together that as a meal with the calorie count. Crazy, right? So AI is making it very, you know, it's improved it. Really improving what we can do. And so stuff like that, the tracking is important because what I track, I keep an eye on. And if it goes up, I'm aware of it. I make changes. Last year, I tried to get away from tracking, thinking that was the problem. And it really wasn't. That was just me trying to hide from it. So yeah, I know it's a pretty long podcast. I just wanted to share those thoughts, share those ideas. But what I would say to you, if you're finding yourself overthinking something, and it's been a challenge you've been trying to get at for a while, is what do you think you know that you're not acting on? And really asking yourself what needs to change to make a difference. You know, that's the big one. So hopefully you've enjoyed that podcast, and I'll be back in a couple of days.